Sadly, lives have
dozens
been lost.
Falling ill from the mysterious virus that would ultimately change
their temperatures.
The coronavirus presents a public health emergency.
This is the Make the Choice podcast, a series that provides a safe place for discussion on vaccine hesitancy, something that has caused a lot of confusion and division among mob in our community. A collaboration between the state Indigenous Health and Indigenous media peak bodies in Queensland. The Make the Choice podcast, where we find the answers to the questions our mob have around the COVID-19 vaccine. This is the Make the Choice podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Vaccine Hesitancy Podcast. At the moment, we're talking to blackfellas all around the state of Queensland to find out the COVID story in their area, how the vaccination rates are going, what the hesitancy is, and just talk to you from your local area.
If you don't trust the white system, trust our mob at least, you know. That's why we studied sciences, and that's why we can apply it both culturally and socially and medically, so we can help our mob.
Modelling suggests that once it gets into our community, you know, we're an ageing population, we've got multiple complex chronic disease, we're more likely to get COVID or the Delta strain, and it's going to affect our health. The majority of us won't survive it, and we're going to see a lot of social emotional wellbeing issues with grief and loss. It's a very serious thing to think about.
Brothers and sisters, I think this is potentially one of the biggest health risks we've faced as an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community. And it has the potential to be very bad. But we also know that we are smart, resilient people. So we've faced things like this head on before and overcome them. You know, everything from poisoned water holes to, you know, massacres and stolen children, etc., as well as smallpox. We can handle this, but we need to stick together and we need to do what we know is culturally right, the right way to do things, and that's to protect our communities. As far as I'm concerned, the benefits of the vaccine for us are much, much higher than they are for the rest of the population. So for us, the benefit-risk ratio is very high on benefits compared to the risk of the vaccine. And that's what I'd say is that for us and our mob, I think it's the only way to go. Currently, it's the only way that we're going to get out of this without having a lot more deaths in our communities.
I was talking before about the cyclone. If you've got to go in lockdown because the cyclone's hitting and no one can go anywhere, have you got everything at home that you need to be able to weather the storm of COVID when it hits? Because that's the conversation we need to be having now, whether you've got the vaccine or not. I'd like our mob to get vaccinated because they're going to open these borders up, whether our mob are 80% or not, or 90%. They're talking about that population. Our mob are only 3%.
Yeah, some powerful words there from some of the leading black health professionals here in Queensland, talking about the very real threat of COVID-19, vaccination and all those risk factors that go with it. This morning, I'm lucky enough to have the CEO of Brisbane Indigenous Media Association, Jai Lawton, with me. Jai, let's trot Lawton. Jai, how are you, brother?
Yeah, good, thanks, brother.
Mate, just before we get into the yarn around this COVID and about the Make the Choice podcast, can you just please introduce yourself and your mob for those that don't know?
Yeah, no worries. Jai Lawton, Abidjara man from central west Queensland and now based here in Meanjin in Brisbane.
Yes, and we are lucky for that, bro. Obviously, COVID-19 has been a huge, you know, factor for us all up here, and it's something that we've sort of championed here at 98.9 around informing and educating our mob. Firstly, can you tell us about the Make the Choice podcast and how that came together initially?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of learnings that can be taken from the whole situation of COVID, particularly from a communications point of view and particularly from a media point of view. So, you know, just to paint the picture, you know, just locally here in at 98.9 FM in Brisbane, since March 2020, we've had 12 different campaigns with 12 different call to actions come to light here, and we've sort of been stuck in the middle of it very much so. So, and that means that our mob and our community have been stuck in the middle of it. So, you know, I was lucky to have, I suppose, in many ways, a coordinated approach in southeast Queensland through the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health, which had their targeted step-up campaign. But the rest of the state I suppose weren't so lucky. And so this whole podcast came about through it was actually through Queensland Health,
mm-hmm.
And our conversations with them early to say, look, this is, as they know, it's a very complex issue when it comes to communicating to our communities in Queensland and across the country, in particular when it comes to COVID vaccinations. And there's a whole range of different complex reasons as to why people don't want to get the vaccination. And one of the big ones is the mistrust of government. And so we said to them, stop, you know, they asked us, they said, what's your recommendations? And we said, well, you fellas just need to move aside and get out of the road, because every bit of information that you mob are putting out there is causing more and more people to move backwards. So, and they listened, which isn't always the case. And so it's a great thing. And we've got some great leadership there with Hayley and Grogan and other Indigenous people, in the Queensland Health Department. And so that's where, you know, we said, look, we've got a Queensland Indigenous media peak body. Mm-hmm. We've got a Queensland Indigenous health peak body. It makes sense for those two bodies to come together and produce a podcast that, you know, is from the voices of, firstly, Indigenous medical expertise, but also from the voices of Indigenous communities that are representative of the state all across the locations of Queensland, and to hear the real concerns. Mm. So that's sort of how that was come about, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a real hard one, that distrust of government, isn't it? Like, what do we say to our mob? Like, we're here, we're making this podcast, we're trying to inform and educate our mob, but we're also blackfellas from community, bruh. And we have very real conversations here at work around sort of these factors and what mob are thinking. We've obviously talked to mob all over Queensland, but, you know, it's sort of hard, isn't it, to sort of, you know, discuss distrust of government and tell people to get stuff when we know there's some very real issues out there. And that's the big thing about this podcast is... there's some very real issues that the mob face, and we have to sort of understand that.
That's right. And the mistrust of government, you know, it's because of good reason.
Yeah.
You know, the track record there isn't a good one. And so when we talk about, you know, when I'm yarning to mob and community about it, it's saying, look, this isn't a government issue, it's a health issue. And regardless of what the government...
I think that's a really important point, what you just said there.
And regardless of what the government do... you know, we do what we know is right within us, and what we know what's right within us with this whole conversation is that it is a health issue, and we need to do what we've always done, and to, you know, to Dr. Mark's words and others around, you know, we need to do what it is to protect ourselves and our communities. So, and that's what, you know, that's what we're doing.
And one of the things about this podcast is too is that you guys decided earlier on to, instead of making it broader topics for the entirety of Black Queensland, it was more about talking to local people in the local area for the local community, that real local approach, localised approach.
Well, and I think, you know, and you were very much involved in the conversation, and actually you're the host of the podcast, which I think, don't know if we mentioned, but and I think that, you know, even the whole process was very refreshing, you know, to have to design the podcast. You know, we had some structure, we had some format to it, but we road tested it with community. We road tested it with, you know, with the likes of the CEO of and the chair of Quake, you know, and Cleveland Fagan and Matthew Cook, and so we road tested it with a range of different people. And, you know, if you look at what the very first structure of what we had with the podcast to what it is now, it's very different.
Mm.
And I think that will speak to the strength of this podcast in that. You know, it was designed around the feedback and the road testing of mob as well. So I'm looking forward to releasing it.
Yeah, no, I am the host of the podcast, and I just found it a really interesting exercise of learning around sort of, you know, not only COVID-19, but just how bloody great our black health professionals are and how talented they are. I know in talking to Vanessa Clements, she's a epidemiologist with Moreton Bay Health, but you know, she's a real leader in her field. But she was saying that a lot of the issues around vaccination, and particularly for mob in Queensland, because the numbers are quite low, is the mixed messages coming out of government. And we were talking about distrust of government, but also the mixed messages around what is COVID, the vaccination, Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister with his mixed messages. So as part of this Make the Choice sort of podcast around narrowing those messages down to get the correct information out there.
Yeah, that's it. And look, let's be honest, it's been a debacle from the get-go. You know, the Morrison government has absolutely failed our people when it comes to the messaging. You know, there was, when you look at it, with the AstraZeneca debacle around, you know, then to the Pfizer, it's been nothing but a shambles. You look at the information that Minister White had when it comes to the Western Sydney stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they were privy to what was going to happen out there, and it happened. So it has been a debacle. And the frustrating thing, I think, from our point of view and Indigenous media point of view, is that we've been sort of caught up in the middle of it when we should have been leading and coordinating it.
Yeah.
So, it has been a debacle. But I think, and without it being all doom and gloom, you know, and this is the strength of this podcast, you know, it does strip it all back, and it strips it all back to the voice of the community, raising concerns, getting the answers to those concerns. And the talent, as you mentioned on that podcast, is absolutely brilliant. You know, you've got some of the most senior Aboriginal doctors, and they're not only Aboriginal doctors, you're some of the senior medical expertise.
Yeah, they're world leaders.
World leaders. And then you've also got these really grassroots community voices that explain their own concerns within their communities. Mm. And so, and that's the thing, it's a non-judgmental thing. It's about going, well, who is anyone to say that concern isn't valid?
Mm.
You know, and it does. It's the misinformation, and we talk through all different things in there, as you well know, around, you know, the Facebook doctors, the misinformation out there on social media.
Yep.
And it really does. This whole pandemic has really, if anything, highlighted the limitations of social media. You know, it's deadly for a lot of things.
It shows how risky it is.
It is risky. Anyone can.
And our mob just buy it up. I mean, one of the things that me and Dr. Mark Wanatong spoke about was a lot of this misinformation being spread on Facebook is actually from right-wing groups, so your QAnons and, you know, people that absolutely hate black people. And then we got our own mob sharing this sort of information, and that's been totally destructive to our community's vaccination rates, I believe.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is one of the things. It's with the World Wide Web these days, if you look hard enough to try and validate something that you believe in, you'll find it. And
yeah,
it might not necessarily be a credible, valid source. And that's the thing we teach the mob here from the get-go, you know. It's about how do you validate, how do you find a source, and all those different things, which is, you know, again, speaks to the importance of you know, the media point of view and making sure, and, you know, you've been a journalist for a couple of decades, so you know what that's all about. But, it is. It's about finding a true and valid source, and if you look at some of the conspiracy theories that have come about, they have come from those alt-right groups that are absolutely damaging to our people.
Yeah, a lot of the ones is that how quickly the vaccine's been formulated. And, you know, we see a lot of that sort of information being spread. But as we talked about with, you know, Dr. Vanessa Clements and a couple others in this podcast, is that the whole world's scientific community work on the one thing for once without the worry of profit and ownership. And so that was one of the real myth-busting things that I found in this podcast as well, is that whatever people are putting out there, and there's more holes in Swiss cheese in some of their arguments, but you know, we sort of answer all these sort of questions around the misinformation, around the vaccines and all that sort of thing. So it brings it back to that sort of real and honest information around vaccination and COVID-19.
That's right. And the more conversations we have about it, you know, the more that we'll feel comfortable, and the more the truth will come out too. You know, we've had conversations here locally. We had one here 2 weeks ago where we, you know, invited members of the community with the medical expertise and just sat down and had a yarn.
Yeah, that was great.
And, yeah, it's deadly. And people, you know, like I said, people's concerns are people's concerns. Who are we to say otherwise? And some people's concerns are very, very serious.
Yeah,
know?
Very real, very valid.
Very real, very valid. And fair enough. And so, you know, the whole intent of this podcast really is to equip people with the right information to make a choice. And at the end of the day, their choice is their choice. But we're going to be facing some really serious times in the next, particularly in the next few weeks, but then leading into a few months, and it's going to be, we really need to strap ourselves in because it's coming.
Yeah, and you guys have heard me, you know, a bit of a broken record, unfortunately, but I'd rather sound like a broken record than attend funerals. the Moree experience, the Walgett experience, the Dubbo experience from Western New South Wales. And, you know, one of the things that Arlene Langton talked about from Cherbourg Radio is the need for communities up here to get prepared before it gets there. And that's what we learned from Moree, like people rushing out to get vaccinated when they already had COVID, I mean, it's already there in the community. And had, you know, like we've had up over 200 cases, 98% are just mob, you know. So it's about being prepared and getting vaccinated before it gets there. And, you know, 3 weeks out, so we want people to jump in there if you're in Cherbourg or these sort of places to get vaccinated right now before it gets there.
That's it. And preparation is key. And, you know, and as they say, vaccination is you know, scientifically, and this is not scientifically from a Western science point of view, but also from a black doctor's point of view.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying this is the best protection, measure of protection. And that's what I go by. If, you know, as I said to my own family, you know, if your car breaks down, more often than not, I don't see them jumping on Google trying to fix it themselves. They go and take it to a mechanic because they're the experts in that field. But yet, when it comes to something like this, you know, everyone's a Facebook doctor and, you know, they go and jump on that. But, you know, and so, yeah, we do, we need to trust our black professionals because, as Dr. Mark said, they get into this field to make a difference within our mob's health, not to be a black puppet of government. So, I'm giving away all the secrets to the podcast here, but
that's cool. We want to.
but yeah, and so, you know, and then to other people's points, yeah, we do need to get prepared. It's like a natural disaster coming. If we don't take those measures to get prepared, then you know, it's going to hit us harder.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to look at Will Kenya and everyone was spread out in camper vans, and you know, they didn't have much help from the government. That's been the thing for Moree, is that they were pretty much left alone. So once they opened up Sydney, it's almost like the Western communities were forgotten about, and that's a very real threat for up here in Queensland. So I just go back. I just want to talk about our own personal vaccination journeys. Now, me and you, bros, like, you know, because I know there's brothers up there still thinking about it and sisters. Me and you, like, we was basically just scared of needles is one factor. I had a bit of that distrust of government stuff where I just wanted to sit back and just wait to see if everyone turned into frogs or, you know, God knows what else. But, you know, I was going to sit back and wait, you know, and be like that. So for you, what about for your own journey?
Oh, look, I'm absolutely jammy for needles. Like, there's no left, right about it.
A lot of mob are.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I didn't realise how much I was until, and I didn't even know you could get this, but on the My Health or My Gov or whatever the thing is, that you can get your vaccination history. And when I looked at the, you know, obviously got my first one and then had to, you know, and it wasn't easy. Like I was sitting there with my head down and the doctor was selling all these things and, you know, and then he was doing other things. I said, brother, you just need to get this thing and put it in my arm because I'm jammy.
Don't muck around, guys. Yeah, just get it done.
It was like, you know, trying to jump out of a plane and brother boy's holding me out there, just sort of walking me through the risks of it all. It's like, look, you know, but yeah, so I was jammy. And like I said, I looked at that vaccination history and I think the last I had, my two vaccinations in 2021 and my previous one to that was 1998. So, yeah, and that was my only vaccination thing on my record. So I had three. And I remember, you know, even when I was a young fella going to school and, you know, you have to have your permission slips and all that sort of stuff. And I'd literally, on the way to school, I would rip that permission slip up, chuck it in the bin, and then I'd get into the, you know, all the nurses or whatever in the school and they say, oh, you got permission slip? Oh, no, sorry, I don't have one. Oh, unfortunately, you can't get a vaccination. Oh, that's terrible. Walk outside cheering, you know.
You were jamming, you was.
Yeah, and that, the same reason, you know, just jam your needles. Like, they just, and that's it. And, like, when I say that early part, you know, if people's concerns are people's concerns, you can't tell me not to be scared of needles because that's what I'm scared of. So everyone's concern is everyone's concern, and who are we to say otherwise? So we really need to respect people's concerns, but we also need to, you know, we were brave enough and courageous enough to step up and get it done, and that's what we just got to do.
If courageous is the right word.
Oh, I think of myself as courageous.
Courageous.
It's overcome. Well, it's overcoming a fear, you know.
Yeah, don't talk about snakes then. But yeah, I was the same like that. I was a bit scared of needles, and I think that come from early days of being in the dentist, the school dentist. They were rough, man. But yeah, I've always been scared of needles, and I had that fear of like, oh, this vaccination's happening really quickly. I just want to sit back and see what happens. But then when I did my research, because I'm a journo, you know, like I can't be buying into this you know, hysteria that people are reading on social media. So, yeah, I went and done my own research and everything like that. And once I found out what the scientific community was doing and the World Health Organization, how they were coordinating everything, you understood how the vaccination in this time of technology could happen so quickly when you got the whole world working on the one thing. But I know there's brothers out there and sisters out there that just have these small, you know, they're not even worried about what's in the vaccine. It's more about the feeling of it going in.
Yeah, you're making me sick thinking and just talking about it. But, you know, I think the big message for mob is as well is that, like, you know, we've got to do this for ourselves.
Mm.
Like, you know, if we're going to rely on the whim of government and, they've never cared about us.
Mm.
So we need to rely on ourselves and we need to be self-empowered. And we talk about this all the time, you know, self-determined, self-empowered, all this stuff. But we need to put it in action, you know, because... and to the point, you know, they're opening up these borders when our vaccination rates aren't, you know, they're not going to be at 70-80%.
No,
who's the most vulnerable in the community? Well, it's going to be our mob. So, you know, they're doing all these things and so it's going to, you know, for right or wrong, it's going to make it really, really difficult for anyone in this country to live without it.
Mm.
And, yeah, it's going to be tough. You're not going to be able to go see family. You're not going to be able to go and do all these other things that, like I said, for right or wrong, that's going to be the reality. So, you know, that's what you have to weigh up as well.
Yep, and we saw as of yesterday at 5 p.m., the borders, I guess the restrictions for entry into Queensland have eased now that people from hotspots can come into Queensland. They don't have to do motel quarantine anymore. They can home quarantine. So that was quite alarming for me yesterday because that was a bit of a surprise, that announcement from the Queensland Health Officer, Minister. So now it's like, oh, geez, people can come in now and the Delta variant and the new variant that's out there can spread quite quickly.
Well, and if you have a look at the modelling, we really do. We need to strap ourselves in.
Yeah, let's talk about that modelling, can we?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, they're talking about, you know, the Institute of Urban Indigenous Health, they commissioned their own data around... and it's based off a whole range of different factors. So there's some pretty, you know, pretty damning statistics when it comes to it. So they're saying that, you know, when the borders open, if our mob still stay at 40% vaccinated, then we're going to lose over 460 mob in the next 6 to 9 months, and
that's
you know, it's pretty crazy. And then.
That's 460 funerals.
That's right. And then as we go, and this is just in southeast Queensland.
Yeah,
so,
God.
And so then if you jump up then to 60%, it halves. And then if you jump up to 80%, it halves again. So you can sort of see the impacts of and how the protective factors of vaccinations and how it does help. But the big thing is as well is around the hospitalisation rates. So, you know, the intensive care units, again, the admissions into intensive care because of COVID, it dramatically reduces. So, you know, and that's the big thing. It's you know, I remember when Ruby was talking there the other day around her experience and her mistrust of not only the government.
This is Ruby Wharton.
That's right, and the health system and about not taking her chance. For her, it was about not taking her chance with the health system, and many people have that experience. So she thought, well, I've got two choices. One's to get the vaccination and take my, and there's risks with everything. You know, there's absolutely risks with everything. There's risks if you walk to work or drive to work, you know. There's risk to everything. And then versus the risk of you know, being treated properly in a health system. And we've all got our own experiences with that as well. So, but that modelling is pretty concerning. Like when you look at it, and then you look at, you know, Sydney and other areas, and when it comes, it's going to come.
Yeah.
Like we can't live in a bubble forever. It's not good for a range of different reasons, and we're going to have to. This is just something we're going to have to live with. And so, in the next, you know, from when the borders open to 6 months, put that seatbelt on and strap ourselves in, because
it's going to have another Captain Cook, another endeavour, bringing all that, you know, disease in, bruh,
yeah,
through the border there, and
yeah.
And, you know, I was speaking to a friend in Ireland this morning, Anya. Shout out, Anya. She lives down at Mullumbimby normally, and she had to go over to England for sorry business, which is Ireland, sorry, for sorry business, tragic enough. And she got COVID, like being over there, and her whole family's got it. And I said, is it like a cold or a flu? Is it like that? And she goes, no. It feels nothing like that. It feels so weird in your body. It feels so foreign. And all her siblings have got it, and she's saying they all got different signs and symptoms. Mm. And that's what we're hearing out at Moree as well. It's just all these weird sort of things that go on, and then you can get chronic fatigue after it. And so it just highlights again. And she was saying, I'm so lucky I'm vaccinated, because God knows how sick she would have been had she not been vaccinated, and could end up in a respirator, all these sorts of things, you know. So just the human body's so different, and the COVID Delta variant attacks you so differently.
And that's what all the medical professionals are saying. You know, our own resident doctor here, if you like, Dr. Jonathan Leach, it's what he, you know, he says all the time. You know, we speak to him sometimes 5 days a week, but at the moment it's 2 days a week. But, you know, he said that's what the vaccine is very good at, is not making you sick to the point where you're hospitalised.
No.
And there's a whole range of different things, you know, you have to think about there, because, you know, you got to think about your family, your kids,
yep.
You know, while they might not, you know, be of an age of vaccination or be able to, you know, who's going to look after them.
Yep.
There's all different things that people need to think about. But, yeah, that's what the medical advice is coming from. And I'm talking about the Indigenous doctors are saying that the vaccination does extremely limit your admissions into ICU. And yep. that's a big message, you know, to go, you're not going to get as sick. You still might contract it, you still might get all these, but you're not going to get as sick, and you're much less likely to end up in hospital.
Yeah,
and
it's like the flu vaccine in a sense. You know, I'm not saying it's exactly like that, but in a sense, and we've talked about this on the podcast with a couple of professionals, but you get the flu vaccine every year, so you lessen the chance of getting really sick with the flu, getting a hella, you know, flu strain that's been going around here lately, you know, knocking us around. But that flu strain is also updated every year, because it's a different strain every year. And that's what, that really sort of opened my eyes to thinking around the vaccine and the normalisation of getting vaccinated. I know it's not for everybody. Some people can't do it, and some people have some medical conditions that make it really difficult. But I just think, you know, in chatting to these people, it just made sense that it's a layer of protection rather than this big conspiracy theory.
Well, and that's it. And Like any issue, you know, I mentioned the mechanic of the car thing at the end of the day. Like, at the end of the day, the best people to give advice of this is medical professionals. They've studied it. It's not easy. It's not easy to get a, you know, it's a long time at uni to be qualified.
Yeah.
So they're the best people to be talking to. So that's my call to action to people. Go talk to a doctor.
Yeah. I mean, our black health professionals aren't here to trick us. Our black health professionals are here to look after us. I mean, yeah, it's just like they are, and that's the whole thing about this podcast, is listen to our black health experts, our black health professionals, and go and talk to them and get your advice from them and not from anywhere else.
That's right. And you've got, you know, Aboriginal medical services all around the country, wherever you are. And so, you know, it's accessible these days, much more accessible than previous, and that's the thing, you know, we're much more well-equipped.
Yep.
You know, we look at smallpox and what it done to our people, you know, wiping out 70% of mob.
That's what Mark Menetong talks about that,
yeah.
You know.
And so we are.
Tragically, but beautifully.
That's right. And we are much more well-equipped these days to deal with it. And we just need to, yeah, go talk to a medical professional, because they'll weigh up a whole range of different things. Your medical history, all of that sort of things, and they'll give you the best advice.
Yep. And whereabouts can we find this podcast? When's it going live? Can you tell me?
stitching me up here, Russ.
Yeah,
no, look, we are aiming for a launch this week, so keep an ear out, and it'll be going. It'll be going on a range of different platforms. It'll be sitting predominantly on the Quake website, which is, you know, the Queensland Aboriginal Islander Health Council.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the peak body for all the Aboriginal medical services in Queensland. So that'll be on their website. It'll also be getting aired on all of the Queensland First Nations Media Coalition. That's the Indigenous peak body for Indigenous media in Queensland. So we've got members from, you know, the Torres Strait to Mount Isa, Cairns, all the way out to Cherbourg and
the Murray Grapevine.
Yeah, Charleville. So it's all over the. So that'll be getting played on their platforms and sitting on their website. Obviously here at 98.9 FM on our website. So and then there'll be some teasers that comes out before on social media. You know, through audiograms and the stuff that the mob have put together. So just keep an ear out for it. That'll direct you to where to go. But I do encourage people to listen to it because it is absolutely a great conversation with the right people and pretty deadly host too, eh?
Oh, you know, get paid the big bucks, mate. But I've actually seen on Facebook over the weekend actually a lot of people still asking questions around the vaccine. Some pretty hardcore anti-vaxxers out there, some of my family, and that's fine. But they're asking questions, you know, because now people, they're getting mandates around getting vaccinated to keep your employment in health. You know, certain jobs out there require you to be vaccinated. So a lot of people are asking questions around that. So I just encourage you to really, this podcast is, you know, not GAM, and it's run by black fellas for black fellas because we just want to get you the right information out there. A lot of us have had the New South Wales and Victoria experiences, so we're drawing on that and trying to pass the information on for you, mob. Jai, is there anything else you'd just like to say around this podcast or this issue, bros?
No, like I said, I think it's one of the first initiatives particularly from our state Indigenous media peaks point of view. So what also comes with that is that we've developed a radio ad campaign that's been rolling through as well. So it's been a really great initiative, I think, to, like I said, at the opening there, to have state Indigenous media peak body team up with the state Indigenous health peak body to deliver some information that is in through the format of a podcast. It's a pretty deadly thing, you know. So check it out.
Thanks. I know how busy you are, so thanks so much for your time today, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries.
The Make the Choice Podcast.